If you don't have a bulletin, it's Psalms 91, 1 and 2 we'll be sharing. And Psalm 16, 8. Speaking out the Word of God. Let the Word of God, I mean, just know who you are. Just know what His Word says. And gives you strength. It gives you strength. You got there? It says, I live in the shelter of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, You are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Amen. And I keep my eyes always on the Lord, because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Wow. And then the key word there is, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Amen. That is for us. As we walk with Him, keeping our eyes on Him and listening to His Word and being obedient to His Word. I know this past week, through the ministry here and stuff, there's COVID is making an appearance more and more, and people are coming through COVID more and more. I just thank God for that. And Psalms 91 is what we stand on, that God is our protector. He watches over us. And whether you have the shot or you don't have the shot, that's all up between you and the Lord. I take medicine from time to time, and I still declare that Jesus Christ is my healer. Amen? Amen. I declare that. And He is my healer. And I thank Him for all that He has made available to me. But we gather in His house this morning, and we come in here victorious. We come in here encouraged. We come here in strength. We come in here, we are not defeated. In fact, we'll never be defeated. Amen? We will never, ever, ever be defeated. And the one place I want to go this morning for a moment, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Luke, the 18th chapter, I'll probably be around verse 9 where we want to start plowing at this morning. I read from the New American Standard Bible, just a little easier English. Some you might have King James, you might have the Living, it might be some different versions, but make sure that your Bible, when it's translated, that they took it back to the original Hebrew and Greek and translated it from there. And so there's a lot of good modern English versions out there today. If you have a translation that is a translation from a translation, it might be a good one to read, but to study, you want to make sure it's translated from the original Greek and the Hebrew. Amen? Amen. But in verse 9 of chapter 18, I would like to share this with this morning. Huh? Oh, the reference. We're in Luke 18. Yep, and we're going to be in verse 9. Thank you. I'll give people a chance to get there. She said, well, slow down a little bit. I said, hey, I glued my teeth in this morning, so I'm good for a while. I was on a roll, I know. But in verse 9 of chapter 18 of Luke, it says, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So Jesus is telling this. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. I'm not a swindler, unjust, adulterous, or even like this tax collector standing beside me. I fast twice a week and I pay tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And this shows me there that God saw the tax collector's heart. Amen. He heard his prayer, but he saw his heart. Now, with the Pharisee, the rich dude, the guy who had a lot of stuff, nothing wrong with being rich, okay? As long as it doesn't control you. But he was speaking like, hey, I'm God, I ain't like this dude over here, and I do all this kind of stuff. He found himself righteous in his own eyes, but God saw his heart. He needed to humble himself. And the tax collector, man, that was one of the worst jobs you have for the people, for yourself. Boy, you get to steal money and all kind of stuff. But he was convicted of his sin. They, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And God says, man, he heard that prayer and that guy was justified. So, folks, you're gathered here today and it's not the fanciness of your prayer. It's the condition of your heart. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to say. We cry out to God, help me. I don't know what I need, but man, I need something. When we do that, man, it opens us up and allow Him to come into our life and start working us and changing things, you know. I don't know the answers, but God, I need your help. And that's where it all starts. When we can acknowledge to the one who created us, hey, listen, I can't do it no more. I've bloated. I've tried it. I tried to find my joy, my peace over here, and I just cannot do it. I'm tired, frustrated. And we return our faith toward the Lord and say, God, I just need your help. He's there. He isn't going to say, listen, I've come to you 20 times already. You turned me down. I'm not coming anymore. No, he's saying, I'm here. Thank God he is very patient. Amen? Because he's waiting on us. Think of that. He is waiting for each person to turn to him. And, you know, he doesn't want to see anybody perish. And we gather and sometimes think, God, what are you waiting on? You know, here we are another week into this period of time that we're living in, and we see more things taking place. God, what are you waiting on? Well, maybe one thing is waiting on you. Amen? Praise God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting for us, waiting for the next person to come to know him. Time is short. We understand that. The Master's coming back to receive his people. Understand that. But his heart, there's room for one more. One more. You know, it'd be like we're all going to take off to California. Bonnie's paying everybody's trip to California. Yes, yes. And we're all excited about that. And this Greyhound bus shows up and we go out there and pretty soon it's getting crowded and poor. We're not sure we get everybody in there. But there's Bonnie out there saying, I'm taking everybody. Come on. And she's scorching us inside that bus to get in there. Okay. Room for one more. Room for one more. Well, I think most of them will suck it up. Yeah, come on. Come on. We want you to get, come on. Hang on. We got one more coming across the court square. Okay, let's wait for him. Let's wait for him. Our heart desire, we can wait a little bit longer to get there. Just get one more aboard, one more aboard. And that's where our hearts should be at today. Number one, truly be connected with the Lord and have nothing holding us back. But be in our prayer and continue to look out for one another and for others. Plenty of people out there, the same place where God found us at. And he doesn't want us to turn our backs on him. And he goes on in Luke, he talks about the disciples. And verse 15, it's kind of amazing where he just spoke about the tax collector and how he was justified. Now, here's his people, his followers. He says, and they were bringing, verse 15 of chapter 18 of Luke, they were bringing even their babies to him so he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter in it at all. Now I find quite a few things encouraging right here when he's speaking. You know, first of all, the disciples don't quite understand. You know, hey, don't bother Jesus. Keep them kids back. Keep them kids back. He's here for the adults, you know. But what's the best way to get a child started, to get yourself started, following the Master? And that's when they're small, right? He knows that when we are little, we're more open. And we believe people, don't we? When you're a little kid and you say, you tell them something, they're going to believe it. So, man, when we start training a child when they're small, man, when they grow up, they'll have that knowledge with them. They still have a free will. But man, I tell you what, there's an awesome chance that they will come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, or at least decide to. The Bible says the train of child away should go, and the old will not leave them. And to me, it's always that part in between, you know. Maybe between the 16 and 25-year-old, when they kind of go this way. But don't give up. Even if your kid today is 45 years old, if your kid's 50 years old today, don't give up. Because he says, He said they were bringing their children and they were bringing their babies. They were bringing their Now, I don't care how old you are today. I don't care how old your kids are today. They're still your babies, amen? And God said, don't quit bringing them to me, okay, for the touch of the hand. Your prayers are not going void. Understand that God hears your prayers just as you humble yourself to Him. He hears you as you bring your children to Him. He said, don't stop it. Don't stop it, okay? Because what happens? They're coming to know Jesus. Don't think your kid's too far gone. I don't care if you're here today, your kid's in prison, okay? God goes into prisons, amen? I was in jail when He found me, right? Amen. I was running the jail, okay? And the other guy was in jail, and we both found Jesus, okay? So He said, encourage today, continue to intercede and pray, and bring him to me. Cover my blood. People will tell you, she's still wasting her time. He's still wasting his time praying for his kids. I'm telling you what, they're going to hell in a handbasket. Don't ever believe them. Amen. Don't ever believe them. God's word penetrates anything. He goes through anything. And that's what He called us to do, to intercede. Hey, I can live here one more day if it's going to bring my grandkids to Jesus, or bring my brothers to Jesus, or bring my enemy to Jesus. I can do all of it. Yes, I can. I can start eating peanut butter more than I eat hot dogs, okay? I can go out there and eat this stuff called kale that's growing crazy out in our place, okay? I can put up with that because what Christ did for me on the cross in order to bring us to Him, we can do the same thing. To have faith in Him. Wow, I tell you what. But the Master keeps on going. I mean, that's the way He teaches. He wants us to learn. But He goes to the next parable here. He says, a ruler questioned Him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom, the eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Oh, he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? They who heard it said, then, who can be saved? They asked. But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Now, the various teachings about the eye of the needle. We can't move to the eye of a needle, but at one time, I know when they had these walled cities and stuff, there was a small place, a small door, a very small door, that if you came in late at night, you could bring your camel in. And they would lift the door up because they won't open the whole door up. Cause at nighttime, your enemies come in. But you actually raise up the door, and a camel would get down on their knees and try to make a tight squeeze there. Okay, and it'd be like you trying to put on a pair of pants you wore in high school. Okay, it might be impossible, be a tight one, but to get in. So he's saying it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for a wealthy person to get to heaven. He says it's not impossible, but it's easier. Why? Because a lot of time when we are wealthy, we don't see the need for God. But man, but the key word here, and what he's asking us this morning, each one of us, he said to the dude in verse 22, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Now, I truly believe if he said, okay, no problem, Lord. I got a yard sale coming up tomorrow. I'm going to do this. Well, come on. Jesus said, come on, follow me. Because I know your heart's in the right place. I know your heart is for me. Hang on to that stuff. We're going to need it on down the road, okay? We're going to be preaching. We're going to be teaching. We're all kind of stuff. And the extra clothes you got, extra money you got, we're going to use that to feed some people, okay? He didn't want to just sell everything, just walk down and drop it in a bucket somewhere. But he was looking at the guy's heart. what he's saying to us today, everything that we have belongs to him. Everything. So let's check ourselves this morning. What is there? Is there one thing that we lack? Is there something that's holding us back from total commitment to the Lord? Okay? We all got to check ourselves. Amen. I can't check you. You can't check me. But is there? What is that one thing that's holding you back to follow the Master like he wants us to follow? Because that one thing is stopping us. Whether we do a lot of other good things, this is one thing that we know he wants us to do, and we refuse to do it, then we're lacking. Our hearts should be like, if right now, come on in, brother. Hey, we got an open chair, Josh. Come on in, brother. Glad to have you this morning. That's okay. Hey, I'm just glad you made it, brother. And hey, you're not late. I'll just preach longer. But it is that we have a desire. Truly, we want God to occupy every part of it. We don't hold nothing back. And I'm trying to figure out how to do this. If Ryan owned this building, and I rent it from for a buck, now it's mine. Okay, but I tell Ryan, hey, listen, this part here, I'm going to bring in a truckload of money. And I'll put all the money I can. I fill as much space as I have. I'll fill for all the money in the world, as much space I have here. Chances are, not saying we're not worshiping money. I'm just using this for example, okay? It could be pizza or donuts. You like donuts, okay? Man, wow. All that. Look all the good I can do with all this. This is packed full of money. You probably the first thing he would do is throw you all out. Why? Because you're occupying a space in his house that God wants to fill up for his use, and so you just got to go. I mean, I would imagine the clothing go out, all the, it'd be stripped down to nothing. I mean, he would even dust probably, because the dust bunny might take up enough money, room for some more money. But see what he would do when he said, listen, I want everything. What are you lacking? What is it? What is it right now? We should have in our heart the same way. God, everything is yours. Clean me out. Build me everything. I need everything that you have. I'm tired of this playing back and forth. I'm holding on to something to separate me from you. No heart desire, but God, fill me. Get rid of it. And it might be pushing stuff out of your life. It might be pushing people out of your life that's taking God's space. They're in your head. They're helping you fall away. Or they're not allowing you to commit completely because, well, you know, I need you. What will happen if you don't do this for me? Well, I'll tell you what. God will do the same thing to you that he's doing for me. It's the Lord. I think at times we carry people so far that they never come to Jesus. Why? Because they depend upon us and not our provider. Amen? The old saying, you give somebody a fish, you feed him for the day, you teach them how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Well, I'm all for helping people. Now, I don't have a secret fishing hole somewhere. Josh, you might have one. You do a lot of fishing. Okay? You might not tell me. And some of y'all hunt mushrooms. And you don't tell nobody where you find the mushrooms at. You know, we had a neighbor when I was a kid, lived above us. Bill Wilson was his name. Worked at Freddy's. Awesome fella. I'll tell you what, if you guys remember Bill or not. But he would come out of the woods below our house with these bread sacks packed full. He would never, ever tell me where he got them at. But he would always go in the woods, clear up the road, and sneak back around, and we could never find him. I mean, he's just awesome. So no, I don't blame. He wants it for himself. I don't blame him for it. Okay, but with us, it's the opposite. God is our provider. He's our rescuer. He's our healer. He's our deliverer, and we want to share that with others. Yes, here I'll feed you today, but let me tell you who's feeding me. Come to Christ. Come and receive him as Savior and Lord. Let him break away the sin debt that you have, and come and follow him. Oh, I really don't want to do that. Okay, that's up to you. If you don't want to, but the good news is he'll deliver you if you want that. But if you don't, I'm not here to live your life for you. I'm here to direct you to the one who gave you life, that has a purpose for your life. In the world out there today, they need us so much more. They need the Christ in us. But the Lord is saying today, okay, what is that one thing? Is there something that you're lacking in your life? Is there something that you're hanging on to that's being detrimental? Something that's keeping you back from being all that I want you to be? Is there something, if we are lacking something today, I believe that is your, I can't say the word correctly, I'll try it, Carol will help me. Achilles heel. Did I say that right? That's one place that the devil will get you. That's one place that you're vulnerable at. That's one place that somebody can come after and disrupt your relationship with Jesus. Is there something that we're lacking? Otherwise, is there something that we're hanging on to? Something we haven't got rid of in our life that can be used against us? And God said, check that. Everything we have belongs to Him. And that's what He's telling this rich young ruler. Okay, if his heart was, hey, God, whatever. And I know a lot of you folks in here, and you're just like that. I mean, not like that. You're like, whatever I have is yours. I see you guys love on one another, help one another. You guys do things behind where no one knows what you're doing. I mean, you're doing it. Okay? Folks, there's nothing wrong with having money. Understand that. Okay? He's not preaching against the money part of it. Whatever we have belongs to Him. And if you got a bicycle built for two, that's all you got with bald tires, you're coming to church, you get room for somebody, you can bring them with you. Amen? Whatever, Lord, whatever. And as we use what He's given us, and replenish it, but it's for His glory. Our use, but for His glory. Because through us, with Christ in us, more and more this world will come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And we don't know what will take place tomorrow or the next day. But when we are committed to the Lord, we know whatever comes our way, that God will be glorified from it. I want to show you a couple of fellas. I don't want to show them, I don't want to talk to you about them. And you're familiar with them. But you're going to find them in the book of Daniel. We just touched on it last week before the Lord concluded our gathering. I've got to find my right bookmarker here. I got every page of my Bible marked for some reason. I don't. But it's going to be in Daniel, the third chapter, where we're going to go here. Now, everyone here familiar with Daniel? Anybody doesn't know Daniel? Everybody knows familiar with Daniel? And the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Okay, so I won't go into great detail there, but what we have, we got Daniel and his three friends taken captive, become slaves, and they're brought into the court to serve the king. And the king doesn't honor God. Okay? So, they take the meat that's been used to sacrifice to gods, they feed that to the slave people. Okay? And they drink from the table and stuff. Well, Daniel and three Hebrew guys say, listen, we don't want to eat from the king's table. Okay? Just give us vegetables. Because we love God. And we are not going to participate. And I'm telling you what, I know my God. I know my God, and we want to honor Him. So just bring this vegetable, we'll eat it, and in 10 days, you can check us out. And we're not just the same as the other ones eating that meat and drinking that wine from the king's table. Just come check us out. Well, the dude was kind of saying, I'm not very sure what happened. You're kind of squawny on the 8th or 9th day, and the king sees you, I might lose my job. But anyway, he agreed to it. And on the 10th day, they were a better shape, looked better, than the ones eating the steak and stuff from the king's table. See, they stepped out. They said, listen, I'm sorry, we're not going to compromise. We honor our God. We're not going to eat from that table. But I'm telling you what, we're here. We didn't have no choice. We are here to serve you because you've taken us captive. But I'm not going to surrender my God. I'm not going to surrender my God who gave me life. I'm not going to surrender the true God. Look what he did. God. It was God. It wasn't just the carrots and the peas that made him healthy. It was God standing on his word. And some days you might find yourself that way today. Like, man, here we are. we got this king over top of us, and man, we don't have no choice. We got to do this or this. We got to do that. Okay. But we can honor God in all that we do, and we take that stand. You know, I'm not going to compromise my God. I'm not going to compromise him. I love him. Hey, king, live forever. That's up to you. But I'm going to stand on the word of God. And it's important for each one of us to have our faith grow in the word of God, and then we can stand on that word and not compromise on it. That's what they do. And we're going to read some more here, but it's just having God, having Yahweh, Jesus, Yeshua, you know, I'm just giving the Hebrew names. Stand, that's who we do. That's what we do. And if that offends you, okay, but I love my Jesus. You say, I need to do this? Well, I got to pay higher taxes? Okay. Lord, I need some more fish down the pond with coins in their mouth, okay? Okay. Jesus says, give the Caesar what is Caesar, give God what is God. And we give God the glory, amen? We give God our life. We give him our next breath. And we stand on that. I personally stand on Psalms 91. I love it. My cousin Bonnie brought me a yard sign today. He says, standing on Psalms 91. I stand on, I declare that. My wife, I declare every day. There's angels about watching over, protecting me. I have nothing to fear. Amen. Amen. But didn't I say that I still take my medicines when needed? You know what? I still stop for red lights. You know that, brother? God, protect me. Zoom. No. But yes, standing on his word and not compromising it. And I'm telling you, more and more, as your faith grows more and more, as you just stand on the word, and you just say, no, I'm sorry, I don't do that. Even though you're being rejected today by some folks, them folks will come around to you. They want someone who really does believe in God. They want them. They don't know it yet, but they want that, depending upon each one of us. That's what we're saying. What is that one thing? Is there one thing that's separating you completely from everything that God has for you? That one thing can be very detrimental to someone that God has brought across your path to witness to. And that one thing that we might, we call it letting our hair down. Not everybody can do that. David, you can, but you know. But that one thing that we say, oh, wow, I'm just going to relax tonight. And if we step out from God's word, it can be very detrimental to that one person, because people are looking for something that's real. Praise God for this time that we're living in. Praise God that more and more of evil being revealed. Amen. But our hearts now is being revealed, but for people's eyes and ears to be open to know, see the truth of it and come to God. Come to God, because I'm telling you, if we're not out there sharing the Lord, loving for him, loving him, people will recognize this ugliness that's taking place in the world, this evilness that's trying to force us into this one world government stuff early. They might recognize, oh man, I'll point on Gail. Boy, stay away from Gail. You see what she's doing? Man, I'm going to hang out here with Steve. Oh wow. Because I realize what Gail's doing. I'm hanging out with Steve now, but Steve's worse than Gail. But neither one of you are. You know, I'm just picking out. I happen to look at you and you're standing in front of me. That's what happens when you sit in the front row. But instead of going from Gail, turning towards the truth, which is Jesus, if no one's here saying, hey, but the Lord said this, this is what the Bible says, this is the end times, all he offers this. If someone isn't speaking up for the Lord, you're going to go to the next person. Well, Steve's awful quiet. He never says nothing. And Gail's so outspoken, man. And we know how she is. And so I start following Steve. He just happened to be a quieter version of Gail. Again, both of you guys, I'm picking on you just there. That's why we need, God wants us. Again, check for that one thing. If he's got two things, check for two things. But truly, remove it. Let him fill you of all he has. Because people's lives are depending on it. And you'll be pressed more and more into doing things that you don't want to do. And we got to stand firm on that, because it's the outcome. It's the outcome. Let me share this with you now. We're going to jump down in chapter 3, Verse 1, I'll read through here, but I'll share as we go. I know some of y'all here, you might have to go early today. Some of you got to work and stuff. Don't feel bad. If you need to go, God understands. If you're here visiting today, you got to use the restroom. It's down the hallway. Don't feel bad about walking past me going to the bathroom. We'd rather have you walk past me than clean you up, okay? But he said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width was 60 cubits. It's a humongous image he made, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's in charge of the three Hebrew boys. Amen? And these guys found favor. Nebuchadnezzar raised Daniel up to a place of power, like one step under him. And he said, okay, thank you, Nebuchadnezzar, but I got three buddies here. I want you to give them good jobs. So these guys, these foreigners, these slaves that got good jobs over top the people who live there. Wow. That didn't make them guys happy, did it? By the way, animosity. They didn't look at, wow, these guys got influence, or they got knowledge, that they can do these jobs really good. People were upset because they were put in positions over them, and they've always been a Coshocktonian, and these people from Dresden come in, and next thing you know, they're in charge of the choir, they're in charge of the collection, instead of looking at the talents they're using, their heart wasn't right. So he made this humongous image to bow down to him, to bow down and worship. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent word to assemble all the leaders in the town. They all different type of wards there, magistrates, be councilmen, be township trustees, it'd be your mayors, all them folks come together, all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Then all the leaders assembled in front of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, to you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, and all these instruments, the bagpipe, you shall bow down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. That's the rule of the land now. And these three Hebrew boys, they're part of the government on a smaller scale, but they're part of it. And folks, you know they're having a pretty good lifestyle. They're probably eating some decent food and stuff like that, okay? But why are they doing that? Because they had found favor with God, because they honor God in their relationship. Even in captivity, even when they're being controlled by something they had no control over, they still honor God, so they found favor in the eyes of God, which caused the hearts of those in charge to give favor to God's people. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace blazing fire. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn and all the instruments, there was a bow down. He told them up front, you don't bow down this thing. There's no timeouts. We're not going to put you in a place for the next 6 months and try to change your mind and try to influence you to bow down this thing. No. Immediately. I mean, there's no tomorrow. No. If you don't bow down this thing, Susan, you're going to be French fried tonight. You'd be looking like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Told them up front. What do you think of that? I mean, you think of the three Hebrew boys, what is going through their mind, I wonder? I bet you those three guys, they're encouraging one another. Hey man, we come this far. Man, but they're going to throw us in this fire. They're going to throw us and burn us up. How can we witness the people if we're burned up? Okay? Maybe that was going through the mind, but together, the three of them, I believe they're encouraging one another. They said, listen, we're not going to bow down to... Didn't God bring us this far? He brought us this far here. Listen, everything we have right now, it's all because of God, right? Well, why should we turn our back on Him now? Man, encouragement. You know, what you all do to one another. Come on. Hang in there. And all the people, nations, men of every tongue, fell down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. Verse 8. For this reason, at that certain time, the Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the three Hebrew boys. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn and all the instruments is to fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever doesn't fall down will be thrown into the blazing fire. But there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They named them right out there. And no doubt when they said that to Nebuchadnezzar, he recognized, hey, these are my folks. I got in charge and they did me a great job. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. I bet right away Nebuchadnezzar said, man, look what I've done to these guys. Brought them into slavery, erased them out. Look at Daniel. Man, look how far he's up there. And I gave these guys charge of my providence. Man, and they don't recognize me. I mean, boom, wow. He went from liking these guys to being infuriated because why? Because his pride. I mean, he's not thinking about, oh, wait a second. They honor a different God, but I'm blessed because they do that. He's not quite there yet, right? Amen. When Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, all the instruments, if you fall down and worship the image I have made, very well. Come on, man, I'll give you another chance. Okay, guys, I mean, it's hot out there and you weren't thinking right. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands? He said, right now I'm telling you right up front, you'll be thrown in that fire. Okay? And I'll just take a moment and tell you, God tells us the same thing. Okay? If we cherish and we worship and we hang on to sin and we worship, we bow down to sin in our life, we hang on to it, we have a day of coming being thrown into the fires of hell for eternity. Okay? But God doesn't want that, right? We're going to see here in a minute, he delivered the Hebrew boys from this fire, and they stood on the Word of God. And you stand on the Word of God in your life, or everything is dragging you to hell, and you stand up to no more, God will deliver you from the fires of hell. He tells us up front. He doesn't want to see anybody perish and burn for eternity. Understand that. If he did, he would never send Jesus to pay our penalty. Then he said, I'll come in. Invite me in. I'll come into your life, and I will strengthen you. And we'll overcome this thing. Wow. But here, Nebuchadnezzar, give him another chance. Not that he's a nice guy, I don't think, just because he won't lose three people he had already trained for his kingdom. Continuing in verse 15. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace, a blazing fire. And what God is that can deliver you out of my hands. In the days that we're in today, this could be coming towards the church before long. You're going to continue to worship? You're going to continue to speak the name of Jesus? See, there's an Antichrist spirit controlling this country right now. Trying to. We're fighting, amen? And we say, okay, you're going to worship Jesus? We got these special camps set up out here in Las Vegas. No, not the gambling place. We need to put you guys in because, man, your thinking is wacky. And you're causing a lot of harm to people and they got this belief going on. This is some of the things that will be taking place someday, okay? Be threatenous. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we served, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, one thing that jumps out to me, they were polite. Understand that? Hey, king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm telling you, our God will deliver us, and he doesn't deliver us, so be it. But we'll never worship you. They didn't say, hey, listen, you hair bag, you scum bucket. Who do you think you are? You know who you're messing with? Yeah, you're going to be sorry. I don't care what you say. No. Now they might have inside of them want to say that. That's what come out of the mouth. And there, think of that. And their response, he couldn't be mad with their language, right? They're saying, we honor God. If He's going to deliver us? Fine. And we said this Friday night, what's the worst thing that happened to anyone who followed Jesus? You're in heaven. You threatened me my life? Okay. I mean, I don't want to go yet because God's still using this part of my body to preach with, and same as yours. But man, to be in eternity in heaven, right, that's not much of a fear you can give me. Verse 19, and Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered from towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's that Antichrist spirit, we call it now, raised up in him. Because they said, we're going to honor God. Wow. It just took where rage took place. And folks, we see that more and more taking place in our society today. It's that spirit of controlling the people. That rage is raising up to so much. People can be calm for a while. They can be lying to you shortly. For a while, but when you start speaking the truth to them, you start talking about Jesus, man, that's Antichrist spirit in them start raising up. And you truly see people as clear callers that way. And folks, that's why us, I mean, as a Christian, there should be nobody in your life that doesn't know you're born again. Seriously, because it's all about Jesus. When they start complaining about the world, well, yeah, but you know what Jesus said? When they start complaining about their health, yes, amen, I know what you're saying, I've been there, but you know what the Master said? It's all about Jesus. And some of them, you're going to find out they get so mad because every time they talk to you, you talk about Jesus. Amen? That's what it is. If we keep our mouth shut, we're denying Christ. Understand that. When that Holy Spirit says, open your mouth up, Gail, we open up and share the gospel. Yeah. Now, there's times the Holy Spirit will say, okay, not quite ready yet. Not quite ready yet. You know, just keep loving. Don't get upset with them. Then say, okay, today's the day. Boom. But they're going to know that you're a Christian, that you follow Christ. Well, I can tell you with Jesus, I don't hear that stuff. Okay. Amen? You commanded a certain violent warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. And I don't think they had to tie them up. They would have walked in. You know, like the Master. They didn't have to drag him, put him on the cross. He voluntarily laid down his life for us. Now these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, their clothing, and cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and stood up in haste. He said to his officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? Wasn't it three people we threw in there? He took them to that little hole there. Look at them. They replied to the king, oh, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see a fourth man loose and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. They went into a fiery furnace and God met him right there. And this king is looking in there and saying, man, what is going on? I put him in there, burn him. I put him there to destroy them. I put him in there to teach him a lesson. And there they are. They're in there. And Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. And he responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Look, how much more did he need to know? Look what he was willing to go. The three Hebrew boys are willing to go into the fiery furnace for the faith in God. And because of that, they just touched a leader. They just witnessed to the most powerful person there. Because they were willing to follow God and trust in Him, not knowing whether they'd come out or not. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And then all the people there, all the high-class people gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of the head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of the fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. They didn't compromise. Amen? Did not compromise. We want protection in our life. Do not compromise. Don't let the devil get a hold of you and water down your testimony. Don't compromise your relationship with Jesus. Don't let things into your life. Don't let things come out of your life that's detrimental to the kingdom of God. Amen? He offers this to each one of us. But we need to be that committed, the same as these three Hebrew boys was. Hey, are we convinced? Is Christ the center of our life? Is it Jesus? Is it just Jesus on Sundays? Or is it Jesus 7 days a week? Man, wherever we go, are we taking the Master with us? Are we sharing the gospel? We just loving Jesus. Are we loving our neighbors? Praying for our enemies? Praying for those who persecute us? Are we sharing God's word in a way that people want to hear it at least? I know a lot of times, if I type out a little scripture on Facebook, people won't read it, but I'll just put down the scripture itself and not the language of it. I put it like John 3:16, because they're going to look it up. They're not respond to it, but they're going to look it up. But everything out of the word of our mouth has to be to bring God glory. Amen? We can get wrapped up in different stuff. We've all been there and done that before. But out of our mouth, God, how can I deliver your word to these people who are in darkness today, who are hell-bound? Hellbound. God, help me deliver my heart compassion. God, how can I do this? And when we do that, we're going to have to really settle ourselves. We got to be the point of having skin as leather. Not taking things so personally. You're here to serve the mighty God. You're here to serve Jesus Christ. He's bought and paid for you. He told you, listen, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be hated. We shared that last week. All the good things that's going to happen. Nobody's going to like us. But it's okay. But they need this. Are you willing to follow me? And these days, nowadays, a lot of folks are falling away. They're having a form of godliness, but they're lacking the power thereof because they're not willing to do that. They're not willing to separate ourselves from the world. We're not willing to separate ourselves from people who are detrimental, who are part of the problem to start with. That's why he says, check. Is there one thing that you lack? And be like the tax collector. Just be honest to God. Just be honest with God. God, I got this one thing. Whatever it is that pushes your button. God, I want to serve you fully. I don't want to be detrimental to anybody. Help me, God, and He'll help you. We'll finish this up here. Going there talking about fire, you guys thinking about food, right? Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire, and they noticed that not one thing, not one hair on the head was singed. They didn't smell like fire. What the devil meant for evil didn't even touch none of them. And Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who have put their trust in him, violating the king's commandment. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Look at that, what they went through. They brought glory to God. Now they made a law that you can't talk against their God. And God raised them up and gave them a higher position for being stubborn and staying in the faith of Him. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the people and nations and men of every language that live in the earth, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me. How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Now I'm going to tell you what a witness took place around all the other folks. Because remember, there's a lot of just normal people out there. A lot of normal people being forced to bend down to this God, to worship this false God, because they don't know there's a true God out there, okay? They don't know there is someone that really answers your prayers, someone can get involved in your life, that can change things, and set you free from addiction, can take your kids and turn their lives around. One day, minute they're walking towards hell, the next day they're walking towards heaven because of the blood of Jesus. They didn't know that. They didn't know that stuff going on. But they had somebody, enough guts to stand up and say, I will not bow to this false God. I serve the living God. Now, whether He takes me out or raises me back up again, I shall serve Him, willing to step out, willing to stand on the Word of God, willing to give up their life for God and the further of the kingdom. And look what took place. It changed the heart of a king. Now, it doesn't say you ever worship our God, but he knew not to come against our God. And now the people out there who's bowing down this thing, I can see a great revival. I can see a lot of people say, hey, king, no thank you. I'm not going to bow against that. I'm going to follow this God over here. I'm going to follow Yahweh, the true God. And Nebuchadnezzar, whoa, okay. I ain't going to try to stop you. I seen what their God did with the guys in the fire. I ain't messing with them. And that's what God's calling us to do. Follow Him. Stand on His Word. Don't bow down to these false gods. Don't give in to them. And people out there today who are worshiping false gods, they need it. The Hebrew boys could have said, listen, God knows my heart. He knows we love Him. But what good would it do? What good would it do if all three of us go in the fire? If us three went in the fire and we got burned up, who'd be here tomorrow talking about God? Let's bow down. Let's go and worship this false God, but God knows our heart. But Jesus says, if you deny me before your friends, I'll deny you before my Father. And they were sorted out so much that, you know, we can't deny God. We love Him. And that's where He wants us to be, folks. To get there. And to stand on His Word. Just love Him. People might reject it. Hey, you know what, Jesus? I don't hear about Jesus. Like I said, okay. That's okay. But someday they might come back around to you. I imagine a lot of folks out there. I would imagine the ones who told on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The ones that say, hey, you got three Jews out there that won't bow down to your image. I bet they brought them around too. Amen. Can you imagine everyone who persecute you today, to make fun of you today? Man, when they see you standing firm in the middle of a storm, and the Master brings you through, and they come to you, oh man, I'm sorry, I should never doubted you. I should never spoke to you that way. And there you are saying, well, that's okay. Come on. Let me tell you about Jesus. That's where our hearts will be. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Any questions today?